Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you for these songs that remind us not only of your birth, but how the Spirit filled you, being the Son of God, and yet you needed the Spirit, you needed your Father to fill you, to give you the strength and the power to do what you did. And then, Lord, when you left this world and rose again, you sent the Holy Spirit for us, so that as we worship you this morning, we can sense your presence. As we celebrate this Christmas season, we can feel and know it's true, it's real. Your Spirit is right here with us. We pray now as we look into your Word that we understand more about your birth, more about what happened that day and how many things came together that night. Lord, we pray for your blessing on this time. Open our ears, open our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at the birth of Jesus, we can't help but look at Luke chapter 2. So I want you to go there. Luke chapter 2, 15-16 in your pew Bibles. 15-60. There you go. I'll get it right. Starting in verse 4, we all know that Mary and Joseph were told to go to their place of residence, their origin, and something that we found out recently, and I'm not going to go into it too much in depth, because we're really going to look at some other things, but Joseph and Mary, because they were the line of David, they were actually of very particular interest to King Herod and to the Romans at the time. And so that was one of the reasons for the census. It wanted to find out who was of royal descent, royal genealogy. And Joseph and Mary would have fit into that category, being descendants of David. And so it was a very interesting reason that they were taken up there. It wasn't just for taxes. They wanted to keep tabs on them, make sure they weren't going to cause any uprisings. Little did they know. So in verse 4 it says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son, wrapped him in cloths," or swaddling clothes, as some people call it, "and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." I'm going to stop there for a second because I want to back up a little bit and look at this. They went up there and registered, and if you notice, it says Mary, who is pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. Can you imagine the talk? Imagine the whispers, being in a small town, especially Nazareth. And as I mentioned last week, Nazareth was just a dinky town, middle of nowhere type of town. And so what kind of talk, what kind of whispers were going on during that time? So now we get into the heart of it. Verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flock at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When all the angels left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Now, you know, when you read this, it's like, oh, great, you know, shepherds out in the field, and you know, you get the picture of the shepherds out there, and they're just kind of kicking back and maybe making some tea or whatever they're drinking out there, and just relaxing and watching the sheep, making, you know, they took rounds and whatever, and you don't get the full impact. You really don't. Because really, first of all, in verse 8, it says they're living out there. You know, they literally lived out there. That was their life. They were also considered, they were temple shepherds. And it was their life to watch over the sheep and find that lamb. That one lamb that would be born. And so when that lamb would be born, they'd hear, one of the sheep is having their lamb, their ewe or whatever, and they run out there to check this lamb. They don't want it to be damaged in any way. And so they might even go out and help the mom, the sheep, birth that baby. And then they check. Is it a male? Yep, it's a male. Okay. Any defects? Let me check. Wipe it off and look, and is it sick? No, it seems to be strong enough. How about any blemishes, any difference in the wool, any colors? No, it's all white. Okay, wrap it up. And they would wrap it up in swaddling clothes. They would wrap it tight up to keep it safe, to keep it warm. Why? Because that lamb will be sacrificed for sin. That lamb becomes the sacrifice for the people of Israel. It is the one lamb that they will go and give to the priests, and the priests will lay their hands upon that lamb, and they will transfer the sins of the people to that lamb before it's slaughtered on the altar. Well, what did the shepherds hear? They heard that a Savior would be born. Christ, the Messiah, is what Christ means. It means the Anointed One. He will be in a stable, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Kind of interesting. Wrapped in these cloths, just like a lamb would be. Well, the Jewish people would do that to a newborn. They would wrap it up tight, you know, so the baby wouldn't move too much and wouldn't hurt itself. But it was also to keep the child warm. And so the shepherds were told, go and see this thing. And the angels were praising and glorifying and singing. And the shepherds were, yeah, we need to go see this. And they go to Bethlehem. And they find a child in a stable, a manger, animals all around. And they go and they see this child wrapped just like they would wrap a lamb. Maybe they even had a lamb with them that was wrapped, because they didn't dare leave the lamb out in the wild. And so maybe one of them was even carrying a lamb. And what did they see? They saw the Christ, the Lamb of God, who would take away the sin of the world. So they left, glorifying and praising God. You know, I tried to find a picture of people praising and glorifying God, because I thought, that's just amazing to me. These shepherds, they went to Bethlehem and they saw what they saw, and they heard these angels and everything else, and they actually praised God and glorified Him all through town. Because you can imagine, people are going, What's the big deal? You guys drink too much? What's going on? And they say, no, you've got to know this. We saw the sacrifice. We saw the lamb. Well, you're shepherds. Yeah. They said, no, you don't understand. We saw the Lamb of God, who's going to take away the sin of the world. How they must have felt. Praise God! Amen! Hallelujah! Whoa! We ever do that? Out there in the world? When it's Christmas time, you go into the store and buy yourself and say, man, it's almost Christmas. Hey, amen for that. Jesus was born. Security. We got somebody who needs to be escorted out. You know, we don't really feel that way a lot of times. And I think that we've lost some of the excitement of what Jesus did and who He is. Well, now, let's move on to the wise men. It's Matthew 14:69, Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 and starts in verse 1 of Matthew 2. Another fascinating study on the wise men. And contrary to popular belief, there weren't just three of them. I want to dispel that myth right away. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who is born King of the Jews? We saw a star in the east and have come to worship Him. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law and asked them where the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, was to be born. In Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. And then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I too may go and worship him. Wink, wink. Yeah. I added that. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and bowed down and worshipped him. And they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is another story section that we just miss because of the significance of it. I want to share some of the things. Firstly, you know, Herod, he had no desire to worship the child. In fact, Herod probably would have killed the wise men and taken their loot for himself on the spot. But the thing about these wise men, they didn't travel alone. They were very important individuals, very wealthy and very important. They were informed, they were educated, they knew a lot of things about different cultures and religions, etc., etc. They were by no means believers, but they had a lot of interest in new things. And some have called them kingmakers. They would go around to different places, and they would actually anoint kings and make them kings by sharing their wealth. Now, these men, they traveled in caravans. I mean, I think I have a picture. That's not their caravan. Sorry, it wasn't taken back then. They didn't have cameras, but this would be similar to what they would have. It would be a caravan of probably hundreds of people, actually. There would be military involved. There would be individuals who were skilled in fighting. There would be servants. There would be carts. To think that these wealthy men would have ridden on camels, I'm not so sure that's the case. There, one man says that they rode horses. In fact, they are the descendants of the Arabian horses. But I have a tendency to believe they would be carried, even maybe in carts. There would be tents, there would be supplies, there would be all kinds of things, because this is a long journey. The estimate is about 800 miles of travel. Now, 800 miles for us is, you know, a couple days, and not for them. You know, you've got camels, carts, oxen, people, servants. You've got all this that you're going to travel until it's close to night, and then you're going to have to pitch all the tents. You're going to have to get everything ready, start the fire, kill one of the animals for food. You're going to have to do all kinds of things to get settled in. And so it took them a while. What's interesting is they studied all these people. They studied the stars. They studied signs. They knew about other religions. They were very interested in these. And all of a sudden, they see a star. 800 miles away, they see a star. And they know something's happening. This is important. I think as they read through the literature that they have and the religious books, and they say, you know what? There's a king being born. It says right here, Bethlehem. But we don't know exactly where that is. So they travel. Now, if you were traveling by yourself, maybe 3 months it would take you 800 miles or so. But, you know, you got to think about the preparations, all the details, all the, you know, and that could have stretched it into 6 months, maybe even a year. And we see in chapter 2 of Matthew and verses 16 through 18, if you look at that, Herod was furious that he was outwitted by the Magi, that they took off on a different route. And he orders that all the boys in Bethlehem be killed. And look at what he says, and its vicinity, who were, what, 2 years old and under. So he knew, because the Magi had told him when the star had appeared, and so he's estimating the child would have been at least a year old, maybe even close to 2 years old. So based on that, we know that the Magi, it took them a while to travel. And you also notice when they reached the child, in verse 11, it says, on coming to the house. All of a sudden, it's not a manger. Now you get, you know, we get the pictures of the three wise men with their gifts, you know, frankincense, gold, and myrrh, and kneeling in front of the manger. But that's not what it was. They came to the house where a child was. And the child certainly sitting on the ground, maybe outside playing with something. And they came up and saw the child with his mother, and they bowed and worshiped him. You know, the treasures, of course, you've heard people say, and probably studies on it, gold being that of a king. But more than that, the Magi gave him this gold and everything to begin his journey as a king. He was to be a king. We don't know how much gold there was, but it probably was a lot. And the incense, the myrrh, the frankincense, you know, that was just something to honor and worship, something used in worship services. And then myrrh was an herb, something they used for embalming, for death. Now, all these three gifts given to Jesus, apparently they knew something more than just what everybody else knew. They studied. They saw a sign. They sought out who it was. How many of us would leave our homes, pack up everything, to go and see that sight? You know? I think it would be amazing. What do you know about Jesus' birth? What do you know about it? Have you studied any of it? Have you looked intently into it, as the wise men did? Are you seeking Him? Why not? Sometimes I think people are a little bit of afraid of the truth. You know, we don't want to seek Him. You know, I know just enough. I don't want to know too much more. Because, you know, He reveals things in us. Things about us. Maybe we don't want to see those things. The darkness in us. You know, sometimes people think it's just a bunch of baloney. I mean, come on. It's just for the weak. There was a story that Paul Harvey shared. Very interesting story. It talked about a man, and I'm not going to read word for word the story. But this man didn't believe in Jesus. He said, oh, come on, God comes down to earth as a baby? What are you trying to feed me? What's the point of that? So the family drove off to go to a Christmas Eve service, and the snow began to fall, the temperatures began to drop, and he heard these bumps in the front of his house, and he went out to investigate, and it was a bunch of birds in the front yard by his door, and they were flopping around. And certainly he knew that if they stayed out in the weather, they probably would die. So he thought, well, I'm going to put on my coat and my boots and I'm going to get out there and I'm going to open up the barn door outside and I'll turn the light on and I'm going to get them into the barn and they'll be saved. So he started to do that. He tried shooing them. He tried leading them. He got bread. He got the crumbs leading to the barn, but to no avail. The birds wouldn't go. And so he thought to himself, how in the world can I communicate to them? Well, if I could be a bird, if I could mingle with them, speak their language, I could tell them not to be afraid. I could show them the way to be safe. I could get them into the warm barn, but I'd have to be one of them so they could hear and understand. And at the moment, the church bells began to ring. The sound reached his ears, and as he listened to the bells, it hit him, and he fell to his knees. You know, Jesus did that for us. He came to earth as one of us, left his glory to tell us how to be saved. From what's coming. How to have eternal life. I'd like to just take a moment. Up on the screen, you know, Jeremiah 29:13. It says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Not passingly, but intently. I don't know if you've ever sought for anything intently. You ever gone anywhere and a travel and said, you really got to see this site? And you thought, oh, I'm going to find it. And you ask people and you travel and you look for the signs and you look for everything that you can look for to find this one thing. We've done that. We've gone on travels and we wanted to see Independence Rock. I'll tell you what, it's just not an easy thing to find. You'd think it'd be right out there. But it's a long travel. It's out in the middle of nowhere. And you're thinking, come on, really? Is it out here? Then you'll see another sign. And then you'll look at the map. And you check all your information. And you finally find it. And you go, wow. Is that how we're seeking the Lord with all our heart? Looking for the signs. When something detours us, we go, oh, that's not the way. Let's go over here. Let's try a different route. Seek Him with all your heart. I'd like you to bow your heads and let's pray before we sing this last song. Father, we come before you because Christmas is a time to seek your Son, Jesus, to know Him deep in our hearts, to know about Him and have Him part of our lives. Lord, I pray that there's not one person in here that has not said, I want to know. And that we'll persevere and we'll seek until they find, until they know you fully as you know us. Lord, I pray that you would build in us that desire, even for us who have been Christians for a while, that we still seek, that we still want to know you more. We want to follow you more closely. Lord, I pray that you would build that in us. And as we sing this last song, Lord, I pray it's not just another great tune, but that we truly can come and worship, that we can worship Christ, the newborn King. And Lord, I thank you so much for this time of the year and pray that tomorrow as we celebrate Christmas Eve, that again would just draw us closer to you, become more focused on you. And we pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and we're singing Angels from the Realms of